said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's March 1st. Spring is in the air, but have a look outside. Here we are in Vernon, and it is snowing to beat the band. Holy mackerel.
I know. You know, I'm happy for all the people that like the snow and all the snowboarders and the skiers and the snowmobilers. It's fantastic. They're probably just clicking their heels and jumping for joy. But keep it on the mountain, you know, because it really is. It's quite detrimental for driving and being a pedestrian. So I thought, you know, maybe it might be a little sunnier out. But anyway, that's just the way it is. It's your attitude. Attitude is everything, right?
Why fuss over things you cannot change? I mean, you can put on a coat or wear boots, but you cannot change the fact of what it's doing regarding weather. Now, you can move from the town or city if you don't like the weather, but why waste time fussing over the issue? I don't even give it a thought. I just kind of adapt and move on. And I was telling someone yesterday, actually, I love it when it's snowing because we're on the verge of something wonderful coming. Spring, March 20th, right? And that's my favorite time of the year, those buds on the trees and the robins coming in. And it's just wonderful because that's track season coming, man.
Oh, there you go. There you have it. Okay.
So what's cooking?
What's cooking is mango coconut cream. Say what? We had a couple over for dinner. It was a Chinese New Year dinner, and the gal was lactose intolerant, which meant absolutely no dairy whatsoever. It was a heavier dinner because I had, like, the roast Chinese duck, and I made the rice and the stir-fry veggies. It was quite good, but it was a heavy dinner. And so usually what I do is I wanted to have a really refreshing dessert. I usually wait about a half an hour after because we go and we sit in the living room and then we have a chit-chat and we moan and groan about how full we are and how wonderful it was. And then I said, well, you know, maybe I should serve a little dessert now because it's getting later. And everybody kind of looked at me, yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you, I brought out this, it was fresh raspberries and fresh blueberries. And I think I had some strawberries too. Nice organic fruits, just the berries. And I put this coconut cream over. It was like a yogurt, but it was no dairy. And I'll tell you, I didn't hear a peep out of anybody. All I heard was tinkle, 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 tinkle with the spoons. And I looked at everybody and they go, oh, that was so good. But the beauty of it was so refreshing after a heavy meal. And you liked it, too. You said, oh, I don't think I even want dessert. I remember you said that, right? And then, boy, I looked at you, and it was the next minute I looked at you, it was gone.
Well, you know me. I'm not much of a dessert person these days. And if I do have dessert, I like to wait a couple of hours after my main meal. Some people like to dive right into it. I think you're one of those kinds of people, you know, to sort of balance out your flavor bouquet. But at any rate, you know, what makes the enjoyment for me more complete is knowing that it's clean and it's free of any contaminants and the regular garbage stuff that's served as a dessert. So this is like a guilt-free dessert. It's smooth, it's creamy, and it's very low in carbohydrate. Like, this would tie nicely with a ketogenic diet, this kind of dessert, because it's almost all fat, really.
Well, and water, because you had these fresh berries. These fresh organic berries, they were beautiful. And so it was very hydrating. And I think that's what the refreshing part of it was as well, right? The mango, you know, and everything. It was just delicious. Anyway, so what I do, I double this recipe, of course. I take a can of high-fat coconut cream or milk, whatever you want to call it, and a really good organic kind. And I usually always have a can in the back of my refrigerator, which what it does is it solidifies the coconut cream, and then there's just a little bit of liquid remaining. So then what I do is I take it out, and usually overnight, I take it out, then I strain it. Then you can discard the remaining liquid, or you can, which is maybe only about a quarter of a cup, if that, or you can put it in a shake or do whatever you want with it. And then what I do is I put frozen mango. I used frozen mango. Now, you can use fresh mango, but I use frozen mango in with the coconut milk into the blender, with about a half a teaspoon of cinnamon and a tablespoon of unpasteurized honey. Now you can add more or less, it's up to you, whatever you want. Then I blended it all up and it became very thick, like a thick frozen yogurt. Then what I do is I took it out of the blender and I put it into a tightly sealed container and put it in the fridge. And then that evening, I just filled up the bowls, not a big bowl, filled up the bowls where I had raspberries, blueberries, and strawberries, and put that coconut cream over top of it, and it was delicious. Absolutely scrumptious. Now, I use mango. The reason I use the mango was because of a Chinese New Year dinner. The Chinese like mango. That's the fruit that they like to eat. So I thought, oh, okay, it didn't quite turn out the way I wanted it to turn out, but it ended up turning out better than I thought it was going to turn out. So sometimes those mistakes that we make in our cooking turn out to be mighty fine. So that's what that was all about. And it was yummy, dairy-free, refreshing, and everybody loved it.
Speaking of mangoes, that, as you know, is one of my favorite fruits. I know it's one of your favorite fruits, too. And there's a lot of different ways you can utilize it in home. But I was just thinking that the first gym I built in Maui when I used to live there was underneath a mango tree. And you know how big they get out there, right? And then when the mangoes come out, it's just so awesome. And then even in Israel, I remember picking mangoes. So mangoes have always had an impression in my life. They're just such a delightful fruit. I love peeling them and chopping them up and just eating them kind of, you know, when you just sort of cut the mango in half and slice it and turn it inside out and just chomp away.
Yes.
They're so refreshing.
Yes. Yes, it sure is. Well, there you go. That's what that whole thing was all about. There you have it.
Good stuff. Yeah, this is a good little dessert, and it's yummy and dairy-free and clean, so keep that in mind. Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Dan Irvine. Dan Irvine at Radon BC is certified in both radon measurement and radon mitigation. Dan's long history in construction, concrete coring, and property management has been a real asset in the radon industry. Radon BC, BC is British Columbia, by the way, maintains certification with continuing education and ongoing training upgrades. Dan is a really good friend of ours since we've moved to Vernon. And over many, many conversations that we've had, he discusses radon. I had no idea what it was. I obviously didn't listen in a science class in high school, and or how toxic it was. And I just thought, wow, we really need to get him on SNU and find out more about it. And that's how we find out more about things, is by doing an interview. Right, Corey?
Absolutely. And, you know, what comes to mind is that people are often concerned about everything that man is doing to pollute and destroy the planet, but they are sometimes unaware of nature herself and how, in the relative sense, with our life and security and health in mind, how life itself, how nature itself can cause all kinds of damage and ruin our chances of survival. And radon is just one example. You know, it's a degraded form of radium. It's moving towards its ultimate state, which is lead. But in the meantime, you've got this natural gas formed from the earth. And if you build a house or live over top of it, and it's pooling inside your house, it's a cause of cancer, and it can cause a lot of damage. And then also what brings to mind is science. Without science, without a detection device, without the knowledge that we have using the tools of science, we would never even know this stuff existed.
Well, for sure. And you know what's very interesting? Right after hearing his interview, there are so many things that can cause illness in the home. And I just happened to turn on the TV and I saw Dr. Oz's show, and he was talking about sick building syndrome, the different molds, vacuum cleaner filters, water filters, asbestos, and the radon is just another culprit to add to the list. Now, there's a lot of hot spots in the world, let's say, but in British Columbia, we're not quite a hot spot here in Vernon, but I believe that my sister, who lives in the East Kootenays, which is in Cranbrook, is a hot spot. And once I heard about this radon, this was a while back. I said to her, do you know about radon? She goes, oh, yeah, we've had our house tested for it. I said, how did you know about radon? So, you know, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, it's been in the public awareness. Now, November is the Radon Awareness Month in Canada. And I think they probably do a lot of complementary testing and teach people more about radon because it really is colorless, odorless, and tasteless. And I thought one of the things that's very interesting is that what you do when you have a home is you invite radon into your home, but then you have to do all this, whatever it is you need to do in your home to invite it out. So you can't really do anything with it, right? It goes in and then it goes out. It disperses. So
Dan called it mitigation. You have to create a ventilation system and then use a fan. So you can't stop it from coming in. You know, it permeates even a cement platform or a foundation. It goes right up through that. But you can create an exit strategy. It'd be like if you're in a room and some gas starts coming through that. If you can't get rid of it, the gas is going to affect you, right? So you've got to have a ventilation system.
I wonder about the process, which we never talked about. I'll talk to him about this later on, about how long it would take before you start to have health problems if you had radon in your home. Would you notice it immediately, or would it take maybe 6 months to a year to start seeing symptoms? I mean, it could even lung cancer. It's, it gets that bad. It could be a culprit for lung cancer. So this is pretty serious stuff, right?
My understanding is that it's in process, right? So no, it's going to take years, maybe even decades, because it has to do with damage to DNA and mitochondria. It's free radicals that are generated through exposure to the ionizing radiation. So I guess it would depend on the concentration, because if you watch these science fiction movies and it's post-Third World War and people are wearing gas masks and special suits so they're not affected by the radiation fallout. And then there's these pockets that they find that are free of it. Then they've got these Geiger counters that are measuring the parts per million in so many cubic centimeters of air. So I guess that's what Dan's all about. He's about measuring the quantity, the amount of radon that's in the environment. And you got to determine whether that's a health risk. If it's over a certain level, then you have to take action.
Exactly. And we did that in our apartment, as you said on the interview. And we're safe, which is good. Just one less thing we have to worry about, right? But thank you, Dan, very much. It was very informative. And we'll keep on chatting about radon.
Right on. So moving on, what's your hot topic?
Well, my hot topic is everyone makes mistakes. And the reason that I'm talking about this is because in lieu of the Academy Awards and making the error in the announcement of the best picture, I thought we could chat about making mistakes, which goes into that mango coconut cream sauce that I had made. It was a mistake. It wasn't supposed to turn out like that. It was supposed to turn out more like my chocolate coconut cream pudding, and it didn't. But it was a beautiful mistake, you see. So mistakes are the usual bridge between inexperience and wisdom. And there is a proverb, it is human nature to make mistakes oneself while finding it hard to forgive others. So I'm not talking about a life and death mistake. I'm talking about mistakes that we make with human interaction, maybe in our health, maybe something that we did to somebody else or we've done to ourselves. But when you know you've made a mistake, what do you do about it? And how do you handle it? How do you cope with it? That's the question that I really am concerned about. Do you hide and have remorse? Or do you get back up and dust yourself off and try again? Do you confront the parties who were involved? This, I think, is the most important part about making a mistake, is what do you do after? And in our business model, we try new approaches, which we've known over 20 years of doing the business, and we know what works and what doesn't work. Is it a mistake or an idea that didn't pan out? What do you think, Cor?
Oh, no. When you try something new or fresh or different and it doesn't succeed the way you want it to, that's not a mistake at all. That is right. A movement in the right direction. That's what athletics is all about. You know, you try and improve your performance ultimately by doing something different or trying a new method or technique or whatever. That's the nature of progress. It demands it. It requires it. Like failing in the gym. You have to fail in order to make progress. Failing being can't lift the bar, you can't finish the squat or whatever rep it is, you fail. And then that's a great sign of achievement. So I think the problem with people emotionally is that they dwell on their mistakes in the past. And why are you spending, this is my question, why are you spending so much time in your mind dwelling on the past? And again, it was like the snow this morning. You cannot change the past. It's absolutely impossible. So why are you dwelling on this element in your life that is destroying your present state of happiness? And I think that sometimes, not always, it's because you don't have enough going on in your life that is occupying your forethoughts. In other words, wow, I'm so excited to be alive, and I'm so excited to work on this project, and I've got all this stuff going on, and I'm happy. And you know what? Maybe it's because you don't have enough stuff going on. You don't have a sport to play. You're not training. You're not working out. You're not researching. You're not studying. You're not going to school. All the things that can occupy our time, which ultimately, like the athlete, are all about progress. Like, what are you doing in your life to make progress right now? Because believe me, dwelling on mistakes and having regret is not helping you make any progress.
Well, that's what exactly. So once you've made the mistake and you find yourself in a situation, are you going to make the same mistake? That's where knowledge and wisdom comes in. So if you keep making the same mistake over and over again, that's like insanity, right? But you're absolutely right. I also believe that if you've got lots going on in your life, you're moving forward and you like yourself and your high self-esteem, you do not mind about going up to that some person, place or thing or whatever it is that you've done, you've made a mistake, and confronting it and saying, listen, I'm sorry, I screwed up, I won't do it again, I've learned my lesson, I hope I didn't hurt you or this or that or, you know, whatever it may be, right? You learn. Hopefully you learn from your mistakes not to do it again, right? If it truly is a mistake. So that's all I wanted to talk about. Or, you know, the mistake like I made with my dessert. I will do it again. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes when doing choreography, I make a mistake in it and I go, gee, I like that move better than I like the other move. So sometimes it can work to our benefit, but most likely not. But anyway, I just wanted to have a discussion about that because of the Academy Awards. And I think there was a time when Steve Harvey introduced the wrong Miss Universe. And I guess he just felt terrible about it. But then, you know, the Academy Awards, one of the biggest events of the whole year in Hollywood, and that happened. So, you know, to err is human. So there you go. So if you make a mistake, dust yourself off and get back up again, right?
Well, also, if that's all it takes to knock you off your chair, like they announced the wrong best movie, if that's all it takes to disturb your peace, I mean, we really have to review a lot about who you are and what you're all about, because there's so many other issues. There's billions of issues that are by far more important than that artificial inflation. Which, you know, really, if you didn't watch TV, you'd never even know what was going on. It's quite foolish. But the regret element, regret's an emotion. It's a human emotion. Like Vulcans in Star Trek don't experience regret. And regret is a real downer for a lot of people. And one of my favorite episodes in Star Trek The Next Generation is called Tapestry. And for everyone out there who is struggling with regret, I want you to watch this episode. Look it up on Netflix, because they've got every series ever made on Star Trek now on Netflix, and you can choose the exact episode. It's called Tapestry, and you can see how Picard is able to overcome his own issue of regret by being put in a situation that we can relate to by watching this, that I personally was ultra affected by, and then realized that this whole issue of regret, I had a completely distorted view of it. Instead of now looking at my mistakes with disdain, I look at all of them, every single one of them, with joy, because I know that I could not have evolved into who I am today. And who I am today, I really like myself, and I like what I'm doing. But because of those mistakes, I evolved into what I am today. And that's the message of that episode. You couldn't be where you are right now unless you made all those errors in judgment, maybe said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, acted like a fool, did stupid things as a kid, right? It goes on and on and on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you didn't turn out too bad, Dr. Holly. You're pretty good. But anyway, that's just food for thought. Literally.
Yeah.
That's my hot topic.
Good. That was a good one. And so what's your final word?
My final word is by Leo Burnett. To swear off making mistakes is very easy. All you have to do is swear off having ideas.